For the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking, digesting, looking up Scripture, preparing about the kingdom of God. Now understand, the kingdom of God is not something you see right now. It's something that's within you. The kingdom of God is spiritual and internal. It's not physical and external. Follow me? There is coming a time when you will see the kingdom when Jesus establishes his kingdom for 1,000 years. Right now, his kingdom is established in the hearts of man. And what I've asked Kirk to share a little bit about is the kingdom of God on earth. And friends, we need an explosion of the kingdom of God in people's lives. Amen. So when Kirk is done, I'll dismiss you.
Kingdom of God is something that is completely confusing sometimes, if you're honest. Have you guys ever been confused a little bit by what exactly is the kingdom of God? For years, I thought it was heaven. That's what I thought the kingdom of God was. It must be heaven, right? Because that makes sense, come into my kingdom, you know, that whole kind of thing. It must be heaven. So the more you read about it, the more you think about it, and the more you study it, it may, like, heaven exhibits the kingdom of God. Like, that's where he reigns and rules. But it's not just the kingdom of God. It isn't just heaven. If you think about it, like Pastor said more than once, you know, it's the kingdom of God is his kingship. It's his rule. It's his reign. And we're to be ambassadors of that kingdom here on earth. And one of our jobs, our kind of our main job, is to bring a greater expression of that kingdom here on earth. Our job is to be an ambassador of that kingdom. See, what we get confused by is there's two competing realities right now. There's the reality of this earth that we see, taste, touch, and smell. Okay? Like, I know I can sit here if I don't fall over. Because that's concrete. It's concrete in its expression. It's hard. I know that I have emotions. I know that there's certain laws that are at work here that work in this world. There are also laws and expressions of God's kingdom that also work and are also just as real. The challenge for us believers is to see that kingdom and not this kingdom. That's the challenge, is to walk that out. I'm going behind your back. Get it?
Nothing new.
Dwight told me to never go behind his back. The challenge for us is to follow the words of Jesus and pray for his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. To see that expressed out. And it's so easy to get caught up in the five senses. What we see, taste, touch, smell, hear, what we feel, our emotions. But the greater reality, it's like we talked about during worship this morning. There's facts, but then there's truth. The fact is, the doctor, according to the information that they have, I have this, this, and this disease. But we've all seen it, where the truth of God supersedes that fact.
Amen.
And healing emerges. So there are rules and laws that govern this world. There are also rules and laws that govern his kingdom.
Amen.
You go to business school for a while, which I didn't, so I'm going off of information that someone else told me. You learn that, you know, you want to acquire and you want to hoard and you want to kind of, you know, gain control of things so that you can get ahead. Wrong kingdom. Jesus comes and turns things upside down and said, if you want to receive, guess what you got to do?
Give.
Wait, what? And here's the danger. Here's the danger in these kingdom things, is really putting them in the category of my Christian duty. My Christian duty is I've got to give, I've got to be humble, I've got to do. And that's true. I'm not saying that that's not true. But we're missing out on what the character and the nature of God really is, as for us and not against us. And when he's giving us these keys, you remember any verses about the keys of the kingdom of heaven? He's giving us keys, like, whoever of you wants to be the greatest,
be the
go
servant.
Low. Go low, man. Tell someone, go low. Go low. Where the world would tell you, man, you better hang on to your position and fight for it, right? Does that make sense? The kingdom is opposite. If you want to receive, then you need to give. That doesn't make any sense, Pastor. It's true. It doesn't make any sense because it's not of this kingdom. So if you're into sci-fi, we've talked about this before, but you talk about portals, you know, kind of alternate universes or whatever. You can kind of almost think about it like that. We're to open up a portal to heaven and really let that reality come to bear on this earth. That's our job as his ambassadors. Jesus said, just what Pastor said, you can't look and say, here it is or there it is. Kingdom of God is among you or within you. So many times when you read through, because I was looking at a few verses, so many times you read, Jesus would say things like, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come near you. Or if we do this, then the kingdom of God has come near you. All the time he's saying the kingdom of God has come near you. He's saying that the reality of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of God, of that rulership, that authority, and a little part of it, you're familiar more with the term anointing, okay? That's really happens in kind of like your own little sphere. Like you're anointed to lay hands on the sick and see him, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's true. If you think about it, this isn't quite accurate, but if you think about it like this, anointing is maybe more for like personal. I'm anointed to preach the word or whatever. Think about anointing as more personal. Think about kingdom as stepping into the, like the framework that gives the anointing its power. And I don't mean to take away from what, because it's the Holy Spirit, but like that system where anointing might be for me to do something, kingdom, when we release kingdom on earth, we're talking about changing atmospheres. We're talking about changing mindsets for entire people groups. We're talking about changing how business is done. We're talking, do you know what I mean? It's a whole entire different set. It's not just fuzzy goosebumps and seeing the power of God come in. I want as much of that as I can get. That's not bad, but it's more than that. It's about changing hearts and minds. It's about imparting something to the next generation. It's about seeing his kingdom come to bear here and change how we see the world and how the world sees us, how the world sees each other. It's releasing his presence. Put up that first verse if you could, Jason, if you found it, if you found your paper. This is Acts 1:3, I think it is. This is talking about Jesus. After he rose from the grave, in Acts 1:3, it's King James, so I'll need an interpreter. To whom he also shewed himself alive. Oh, it's 28. Wait. Yeah, because that's the second one. There we are. To him he also showed himself alive after his passion, after the crucifixion, by many proofs, and we've read this before, appearing unto them in the space of 40 days. How many days?
40.
40 days. So Jesus rises from the dead, comes back, spends time teaching the apostles, teaching the disciples. What would you teach about? You got 40 days with Jesus. What do you think he's talking about? Speaking about the things concerning the kingdom of God. This was so important. Jesus came back and spent 40 days telling them about the kingdom. And in our churches, we spend about 40 minutes a year, if that, talking about the kingdom. We don't talk about the kingdom. We talk about a lot of other really important, really good things. But Jesus came back and he said, you know what? We need to talk about the kingdom. He didn't just talk about them getting to heaven. Okay? If you think about the kingdom of God really just being heaven, you're missing out on the entire life of you on earth having an effect on this earth. He said, we need to talk about restoring this to what I intended it for. Bring that second verse up. Acts something, something. Sure, we'll pick one. Okay? When he said these words, he departed. Oh, this is Paul. He stayed there 2 whole years in his own dwelling and received all that went under him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus. All through Acts and through the New Testament, you see about the kingdom of God. We're going to teach about the kingdom of God, about his kingdom. His kingdom is one of increase. When Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, in Matthew chapter 13, he talked about, he compared it to a mustard seed, and he compared it to leaven. We don't use the word leaven anymore. What word do we use instead of leaven?
Yeast.
Bread is made with yeast. What happens if you don't put yeast in your bread?
Flat.
So you start out with a bunch of bread that looks like this, and then when you're done, it actually looks like this. But if you put yeast in it, and do you need, so if you got 4 cups of bread dough, do you need 4 cups of yeast? No, you don't. Got this little tiny, teeny little packet. Mix that with some water, and you dump that in, and what happens to that loaf of bread?
Rises.
Expands. It expands. It affects the entire loaf of bread, that one little bit. It affects the entire loaf of bread. And it doesn't just flavor it. It causes a reaction, and it causes it to do something. It causes it to grow. And Jesus picked the mustard seed, and he says why he talked about the mustard seed. Because it's the smallest seed, but it gets to be the biggest tree in the garden. That's why the kingdom of God's like a mustard seed. Because it's the smallest seed, but it's the biggest tree in the garden. It wasn't because the mustard seed's so special. It was the rate of growth of that mustard seed. Starts out as the smallest and grows up to be the biggest. And so you can disagree, and that's all right, because I kind of thought this way for a while too. But I don't know so much anymore that I'm just like, well, the church is going to kind of dwindle down and shrink, and we're just going to come stumbling across the finish line, and then Jesus is going to rapture us so that we don't all just fade away. It's increase. The kingdom of God is meant to increase. When the disciples, these first disciples, back in the day, you know, they had one of the best Republican governments that was, no, they didn't. Wait a minute. They had Caesars that were cutting their heads off. Oh yeah, that's right. Forgot about that. But you know what happened? They transformed the world because Jesus spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom. Teaching them that, you know what? This world system seems incredibly overwhelming and you would naturally be filled with fear. But guess what? It's a good thing you're not natural.
Amen.
Yeah? If you're living in fear, you need to go, wait a minute. I'm not natural. If I'm living in fear and hopelessness, hold on, wait a minute. If I'm living in fear and hopelessness, because come on, maybe it's just me. No one else struggles with fear and hopelessness? You guys ever watch the news? Okay, just checking. Or maybe you just know all this already. You're like, yeah, we don't do fear and hopelessness. Sometimes I do fear and hopelessness, and I'm pretty good at it. Exactly. And you shouldn't be. You got to arrest yourself in that moment and say, wait a minute. Hold on. That's a response to what I can see, taste, touch, and feel. That's not a response to the kingdom of God. Because Jesus came and he taught them for 40 days about the kingdom of God and said, you know what? You might feel like this little packet of yeast. You got the whole Roman government that's out to seek and destroy your life. Guess what? You're going to affect the whole loaf of bread. Come on. And he did. And that little group of disciples spread. And they changed how government was done. They changed how, like, it affected the entire earth. It wasn't just that a bunch more people were going to heaven. If you think that, we've missed what that entire story is about. Read some church history and read what that first couple centuries was like. It wasn't just that, wow, there was 120 people in the upper room. Now there's like 5,000 people that got saved. There's a lot more people going to heaven. That's true, but that's not the reality of what happened. The reality of what happened is they began to go out and just infect their neighborhoods and change how people saw. One of the things about that people outside of the church wrote in the first or second century is these Christians, these followers of Christ, we know that something's going on with them because they don't have 13 or 14 or 20 wives like everyone else does. They remain sexually pure with one wife. And this is written in text outside of the Bible as a witness for them to see their lifestyles. And it started changing people's views on what marriage really was. It started changing views on how women were treated. Huh. Sometimes women aren't treated really well. As property, right? You know what I mean? Christ started to change that because the kingdom began to come to bear. And the rules and the laws and the governance of that kingdom began to affect the earth around it. begin to affect systems, begin to affect things here on earth. And so I'm just going to give you that little tidbit, and Pastor's going to clean all that up and really wrap it up with 3 points and a poem, and it's just going to be beautiful. But we got to do more than think that it's just heaven. All through Matthew, when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's the kingdom of heaven, but he's not just talking about heaven. He's talking about that rulership, that authority, that power, that presence, the way of doing things that can be like yeast, that can be like that mustard seed that grows up, and it's got to expand. Amen.
Oh. Now you realize why it took only the earth, God to make 6 days to make the world and everything in it, and 40 years to build the temple. He had the kids helping. That was good. The kingdom of heaven does not come with observation. Now, the word kingdom actually means the king's domain. Now, to be a king, you have to have subjects. And so I know we're sons and daughters of God, but we're also subjects of the king. And so what actually is happening, how do we get heaven to earth? Heaven is living within us. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But what I want to leave with us this morning is that you and I, in order to get the kingdom on earth where God wants it to be and spread that out, is we have to manifest the kingdom. And that becomes very interesting. Because God did one thing that may not be so great sometimes. He gave us personality. In that personality are a whole bunch of emotions. Isn't that right, Glenn? But what God wants us to manifest are not our opinions. God wants us to manifest His kingdom. And as I was thinking this week, I just started writing things down, and then I forgot about that list, and I started writing some more stuff down. I got 3 quick things I want to tell you. Number one, a major manifestation of the kingdom of God is love, grace, compassion, and acceptance. And that's pretty interesting. Because we come to a place where the kingdom was based and is based on a simple little verse, "For God so loved." And He wants us to understand, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, the authority, to become the children of God, to those who believed on His name. Another place He says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we are born into a kingdom, and by birth we become subjects of the king. And so He wants His very nature manifested through us so that they honor the king. I got to be careful here. How in the world did people come up with GD? God this and God that. How did we come to a place where the King of Heaven just became a vulgar swear word? In many cases, because the kingdom wasn't manifested. The kingdom is not about going to church.
That's right.
The kingdom is about being the church and manifesting the character of Jesus wherever we're going. Yes. On a good day or a bad day. When something goes wrong, when something goes right, when things are breaking down and things are being built up, every day we are called as the subjects of the King to manifest His nature. Yes. And you know something? He gives you the Holy Spirit so you can do it. Yes. He doesn't just say, you're on your own. Go ahead now, go love. I got to love Brian. Man, I got to work at that. Man, Lord, choke me or do something. I got to love this guy. And I do. But we come to situations that we meet where at times we don't demonstrate the manifestation of the kingdom because we're mad or we're angry. Or somebody hurt us, or something happened. And so God is saying, if you want the kingdom of heaven on earth, manifest me. Yes. Manifest. Show people what I'm really like. Don't show people a side of me that I don't have.
Amen.
Don't demonstrate things to people that's not me. Because you are my subject and you are my children and you demonstrate me.
Amen. Amen.
And through that demonstration, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And he talks about how he accepted us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, look at me for a moment. Christ died and rose again to manifest to us the nature of his kingdom. We die to us so that his kingdom can be manifested through us. Right? Can we get that? Christ died and rose again so he could manifest his kingdom. We die to ourselves so we can manifest the kingdom that's already been manifested to us, and I added to it, and lives through us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the reconciliation. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says he's given us a gift of reconciliation. Reconciliation happens as people get a proper image of Jesus. When that proper image comes, and how is it going to come? It has to come through us. When that proper image of the manifestation of God's kingdom comes to us, through us, it's hard to resist. Okay, number two. Manifest kingdom, the manifestation of the kingdom is honor. Honor means to respect and esteem and to reverence people. Like, honor your father and mother. Jesus said, I've come to honor my father. And he looked at the Pharisees and said, you dishonor me, therefore you dishonor my father. Where am I going with this? Jesus was God. Is that right? I sit amazed at times at the nature of Jesus Christ. Because he didn't have to do everything he did. But he went and he honored a leper. If you want anything to do with me, Jesus, you can make me well. Why would he say that? Because nobody else wanted anything to do with him. Jesus honored him and healed him. How many of you love tax collectors? If this was Tax Collector Appreciation Month, would you take him out for lunch? You take him out. There's a shot for that, huh? But Jesus had Honor the Tax Collector Day. He honored him. You know, we have no problem honoring people in the church, do we? But if somebody disagrees with us, or somebody is way out there in left field doing some sinful act, respect them, my foot, we won't even talk to them. Jesus manifested his kingdom, not only the unlovely, by honoring the unlovely, reaching out to them, even going to their homes, and he was called a friend of sinners and winebibbers. I believe that the kingdom of God is manifested through honor more than I've ever associated it with. And God is teaching us, training us, speaking in our ear. Have the love, joy, and peace, and grace, and all that stuff, but have honor included in that. I got a call from a young pastor this past week. He's got a new worship leader, all excited about the worship leader, and his worship leader's dad was just arrested for molesting his granddaughter. And he said, Dwight, what do I do? I said, well, number one, it's not your worship leader that did anything. You love him. And if you get a chance to speak to his dad, let him know that you're praying for him and you love him. Honor. I preached a pastor's conference one day and I brought in some rocks. I looked at them and I said, we need to open our hands and let the rocks go. Those without sin, let them cast the first stone. The third one is a little different. Have you ever read Matthew 11:12 and wondered what in the world is going on? Let's look at 11:11 to start with. Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Amazing verse after talking about love, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The word violent means to overpower, forcibly advance. And it is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. I used to read this and think, this is Satan just trying to tear apart the kingdom. Now, I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, so you can blame pizza or sleep or barbecue or whatever for pastor's preaching this morning. But I want you to think about this. How many have ever read of Jesus casting out a demon? Very peaceful. No manifestation. Nothing going on. Right? No. The kingdom of God is the greatest power on this earth, but unfortunately, it's the greatest unused power. You have the manifestation of the kingdom within you with the right to deal with evil spirits. I have never successfully counseled a demon. Hello? You have the authority to violently, through the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus, to break every single satanic bondage that you face. There are times when you have to get forceful with healing. You can't give up. You can't quit. You can't hang it up. You can't say, well, I guess, you know, God's not going to do anything, so I quit. No. We walk in the power and the authority. Why did Jesus give us power and authority if we don't need it?
That's right.
We face all kinds of things in people's lives, in families' lives, in our own lives. And Jesus taught us how to learn if it's demonic or just a characteristic. And we need to deal with it. Why did he give us the armor of God? You ever think about that? Oh, he just wanted us to get dressed in the morning. No, he didn't. You're preparing for battle. Protects my bald head. We're at a war. And the church at times thinks we're in a picnic. We put on the helmet of salvation. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have our loins girt about with truth. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Does that sound like a picnic? I love picnics. Potato salad, brats. Oh, can't go to that one. No demon there. I've literally, in ministering to demonic people, seen Satan pick them up and throw them off a chair. It's violent at times. And we need to learn to be forceful in the battle. Forceful and unloving aren't the same thing.
That's right.
Okay? It's not that I change my whole perspective on loving people. I love them, so I want to see them free. I love them, so I want to see the power of Satan broken. I love them, and I want to see them walking with the Lord instead of walking with the devil. And the power of the Holy Spirit is the greatest force. Where did I hear the force be with you? Where was that at? Oh. I thought that might have been a scripture. But it's true. When family members start getting into drugs, start getting into alcohol where they can't control it, start getting into promiscuity where they're out of control, what do? We say it's just too bad. They're having an attack of an evil spirit. They need to be free. When you feel, wow, better say it, I love pastor fearing. If you go out of here screaming and yelling and shouting, you just lied. When you get to a place where you despise someone, you hate someone, that's not a manifestation of God's kingdom. That's a manifestation of Satan's kingdom.
Right. Amen.
Break it. You have the power to break it. The kingdom of God suffers violence. It means it's forcefully advancing. And the violent take it by force. When I'm willing to stand and hold on to what God has given me, attack the very strongholds of the enemy, plunder hell to populate heaven, as Reinhard Bonnke says, things will change. But look at me. Everybody having a bad day doesn't have a demon. You'll know in your spirit when it's real or just a bad day. Anything prolonged, and people can't get rid of it, then we take a look at it. We okay? I want to see the manifestation of the kingdom of God in believers in this area as we've never seen it.
Yes, amen.
I want to see the kingdom of God in operation. And I'm going to tell you something. There's not one church in town that's going to do it by themselves. There's not one pastor in town that can do it by himself. There's not one church in town that can do it by themselves. It takes the body of Christ.
Yes.
And so what we have to do, remember another word that Jesus said? A kingdom divided against itself can what? Cannot stand. Other denominations aren't our enemies. Other Christians aren't our enemies. There has to come a unity in the faith because you're not my people. You're God's. And if you decide that you're going to get up and leave, then take God with you. At least your little bit of him. Leave some for me. But we're in a place where we're not at war or contest with other churches. Other bodies of Christ, we're building the kingdom of God a brick by brick by brick until we meet Jesus. As I said last week, and I close, they'll know that Jesus was sent by the Father from our unity, John 17. Let's come together. They don't have to believe everything I believe. But they do need to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. We can worship with them. We can worship with them. We had a prayer meeting this week with a few pastors, just maybe four of us, but what a start. We love you all. You're very special. You're very valuable in the kingdom of God. But there's still more. Amen?
Amen.
Still more.